Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Word Journey. Word Journey is a platform where we gather to learn how to go about our life pursuits based on the Word of God. If this is your first time of joining us on Word Journey, please know that our approach is that every week we take a topical issue and search the scripture to understand the mind of God that we may adapt our lives accordingly. If this is your first time encountering Word Journey, this is the 30th episode of Word Journey, and we're glad to have you. What it means is that there are over a score of Word Journey available for your free download on Venerable Bona's website. That is www.ihaniobona.com. You can just go on Google and type Venerable Bona, you'll find the website. Apart from downloading on the website, you can equally stream these messages on your favorite podcast platforms such as Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Radio Republic, and most of your favorite podcast platforms. Once you get on them, search for Ven Ihani Obona or Word Journey and you'll find the podcast. Today on the program, we're taking on the third episode of a subject matter we started discussing this month of July 2023. And that is the power of God, the attribute of God, the strength of God. That's what we're looking at. In the previous episode, we have looked at God, who is a defender from strong enemies. The second episode for this month, we also looked at God, the healer of all diseases. This is important you actually pay attention. Go back to those previous episodes and listen to them. Today we are looking at another aspect of God, which is God being a hiding place. A secure hiding place. A sure hiding place. That's what we are looking at today. Of course, in the course of this, what we want to find out is God really is a sure hiding place. Have people hidden themselves in God and they become secure? And also want to check, is it possible that those who see that they are hidden in God, but they became vulnerable, such that people start wondering, were they really in God's protection? These are some of the things we want to look at, and even more, in the course of this episode of Word Journey. As usual on Word Journey, I always have a guest, and then I will introduce my guest when we come back after this break. Please know that Word Journey is available on ihaniobona.com. And if you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, at our Word Journey, you'll be able to get updates in the form of Word Alive, which is a daily exhortation and bedtime reminder, which is equally a short exhortation for the evening. When we come back after this break, I'll introduce my guest. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu Dinwoke. Please stay tuned.
Our faith in Christ did not just reconcile us to God. It ushered us into the Christ kingdom, where the Bible viewpoint is supreme. A genuine member of the kingdom is the one whose lifestyle is guided by Bible principles. On what journey? We search the scriptures to learn the mind of God so that we may conform our lifestyle to it. Welcome to What Journey. I am your brother in Christ, Venerable Ihaanyi Chukwu Obona.
Welcome back to Word Journey. You are still listening to Word Journey, where we learn how to go about our life pursuit based on the Word of God. And my guest is Venerable Ihaanyi Chukwu Obona, who is a servant of God that believes that as Christ is elevated, lives are liberated, and is committed to teaching the Bible across platforms in the hope that God will use it to transform the lives of men. Venerable, thank you very much for being my guest on this week's edition of Word Journey.
Thank you, as we continue to appreciate the name of the Lord.
I want us to start on this subject matter of God being a secure and sure hiding place. I'm using the words secure and sure interchangeably. By helping me understand why we need a hiding place in the first place.
Okay, permit me to lay a very strong and sure foundation using the scriptures.
Okay.
We'll read Psalm 32 verse 7, and it says, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from troubles. You surround me with songs of deliverance." Psalm 119 verse 14 says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word." I want us to take very careful note of the readings, because it will help us
possibly to answer some of your questions. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Then Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 27 verse 5, For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. Psalm 31 verse 20. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of men. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Different levels of protection and shield. This one, strife of tongues. Psalm 64 verse 2 says, hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, for the tumult of those who do iniquity. Psalm 143 verse 9 says, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Isaiah 32 verse 2. Each will be like a refuge from the wind, a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry country, like the shade of a huge rock in a parched land. Psalm 61, 3. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. And finally, Psalm 68, verse 20. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belong escape from death. And to God the Lord belong escape from death. Having taken this foundation, and the first issue is, why do we even need a hiding place in the first instance? This will make it easy when we start looking at, is it necessary? Is it important? Are there benefits? Because from benefits, you know why you need it. The places I read now has pointed out different places where God would, if you hide in God, you get one of the benefits of hiding or dwelling in the secret places of God, making God your hiding place, a sure way is that, according to James chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, if we read that place, it brings us closer to fellowship with God. Closer fellowship with God. Because sometimes we begin to talk about God being a hiding place, always protecting you from your enemy. If God is a place you go to take refuge, you are having an intimate fellowship with God. If God is, why should I make God my hiding place? Living a holy life becomes possible. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 to 5. If you are hiding in God, you live a holy life. At that point, there is self-assessment of our faith. Your assessment of your faith will be enhanced. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. Fruit of the Spirit takes root and grows. We are talking about fruit of the Spirit. This cannot come forth from a life, a Christian life, if you are not making God your sure hiding place. You won't grow. Our gaze is focused on Christ because we are hiding in Him and the things of eternal value. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. We now talk about divine protection and deliverance. From the places I read now, you talk about protection and deliverance. Above all, in Psalm 91, verse 13 to 14, divine authority and attention is received. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. So, having said this, you understand or agree with me the very need that why do you need a hiding place? From the things I have outlined before, these are the reasons. You can't live without having fellowship with God. You need His defense. You need His authority. You need to grow. The fruit of the Spirit needs to take root in you.
Now, I get your point. And then, just for context, I understand all the benefits of hiding in God and get what we drive in hiding in God. Mm-hmm. But this time around, our emphasis for this particular episode or discussion is God being a hiding place when I'm in danger, a place I can run into and become secure. That's what's leading me to the next question I have for you. Would there be any need for a hiding place in God if I live in gated estate? You know, this kind of estate that before you even pass, if they don't know you, they don't know you. If somebody doesn't call you from inside the estate, the house you are going to, you can't enter there. And they do put all kinds of security measures in place. And I have security details. If I'm going to school, I have security who come to school with me and all that. Do you think there will be a need for hiding place in God if I have this kind of security measures put in place around my home, my work, and my children and all that?
Yes. We will take it on from the scriptures again in Psalm 127 verse 1. It says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that builds it. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchmen wicked but in vain. The Lord is... See, no matter... the security details, no matter the security apparatus, you know, we may say that the most secured president in the world is the president of the United States of America, being protected by what they call the Secret Service. The man needs God for security. The arm of the flesh will fail him. The Bible says, unless the Lord keeps the city, except the Lord keeps an individual, except the Lord keeps a nation, the watchmen wicked but in vain. This is Bible. So the answer is that no matter the security put in place, you need God. Because all these things will fail you. They will fail. They that trust in the arm of the flesh shall be put to shame.
Okay, there are different layers of security that someone like the United States president enjoy. Another guy called Putin, president of Russia. Enjoy that kind of security too. I just say that it's possible that they can, with all the security measures about who can come in, who doesn't come in, CCTV camera, trained security expert and all that, there's a possibility for them to still need God as a hiding place.
The answer remains yes. See, these are human. Those securities put in place are the works of the hands of men that can fail. You know, the same America, one of their presidents was shot, John F. Kennedy, by a sniper. So, if such security is put in place, why must that man be killed? Now, you know, we are looking at it because what we see here, if you read the scriptures, you know one of the kings of the Assyrians, Sennacherib. You know how he died?
His son killed him.
Thank you. Did his son need any security clearance to meet the father?
No.
If God is not in charge of your security, no matter how secured you think, as far as human, your son can still kill you. Your wife can come into that bedroom and kill you. They can poison you. So, man on planet Earth needs God as his hiding place.
Okay, are you by this saying that human security measures are an illusion, especially judging from the examples you cited? From I think I used to call the person Sennacherib, the yes, king, yes,
Sennacherib.
Yes, and then the American president that was shot, and then some of those. Does it mean that human security measures are an illusion? You can't count on it, it's not reliable, or it's even a waste of time. Like, let's not bother with it.
No. I wouldn't say that. There's still need for security, even if you go to the Bible. Kings are protected. But you don't put your trust in them. God is number one and remains number one. Trusting in him that this man will work. Using this man to perform this function. So it's not an illusion.
Okay. Yeah, you are saying this thing for the second time. Trusting in God and not trusting in the flesh.
Yes.
I want clarity. How do I know when I'm trusting in the flesh and when I'm trusting God? It's really regarding my security.
I'm going to demonstrate this thing using the scripture because I believe I am talking to those who believe in God. Using the scripture as our basis, David and Goliath, If you read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4 to 7, states clearly the military equipment, the protection on Goliath using the military hardware. And David, a young boy, on his shepherd racks, came with a bag, 5 stones, and a catapult, as we will call it today. But when David, I want us to quickly read that scripture.
Okay.
I want us to quickly read that scripture. 1 Samuel 17. Let me read verse 4 to 7. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gat, came out of the Philistine rank to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighs 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him, carrying a shield. In the days of David, any man that is dressed as thus is like using the best equipment, military hardware for fight. And when he came to David, we may read what David said to him in verse 45. David replied to the Philistines, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heavenly armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head." Mark that word. The Lord will conquer you. God will first conquer Goliath before David now said, "And I will kill you and cut off your head." That is a man that recognized that the battle is the Lord's. So, in the context of what we are discussing, you will see that there is no military formation as Goliath depicts. And David now showed that God is the person that is going to do this war. You have come against me with all this equipment, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. So having all these things is very essential and very good, but you never trust them. They can fail. Arm of the flesh, works of human hands will fail us, but the name of the Lord will never. To cap it up, in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, he says, "Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord." It's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by the military hardware you have. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Okay. Now, there are people who say, "Oh, we believe God is the one who is going to do the work." Look at the way David talked. He said, "God will hand you over to me, then I will not defeat you." Some say, "No, God is just in charge. There's no point in doing any special security on my own end." So they don't lock their door when they are going out. They park their car anyhow. They just say God is going to take care of everything. Is that a correct way to be here?
No. Very wrong interpretation of the scriptures. The Lord never asks you not to shut your door when you're going out. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil." Leave your house open, people will come and cut away with your property. Be wise as serpent, but gentle as a dove.
Can't God come and save the property if I left it like that?
He can, if God wills. But he has given us the spirit of wisdom. He has given us wisdom. And God, who gave us these things, wants us to protect them as well.
Okay. Now, I've heard all the stories you told about different things that happened in the Old Testament and all that. But in this generation, can I really say for sure that God is a hiding place? Or can AI tools get the job done? Can CCTV camera get the job done?
Those things I said is human apparatus. God is really a sure hiding place in our own times. From generation to generation. You know why we say this? We keep referring to the scriptures to lay foundations. You know Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and even David, again, God has will and must continue to be a hiding place for those that put their trust in him. He will not defend you. He will not be your sure hiding place if you have not placed your trust in God. I say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told Nebuchadnezzar, even if our God refused to deliver us from your hand, that we will not worship the idol you placed, the image. So they put implicit trust in God, placed their life in the hand of God for defense. Did God not come down to defend them that very day?
He did.
God came down to defend them. In the lion's den, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and God came down and caused a lion to be automatically become a pillow, a resting place for Daniel. Instead of killing Daniel, the lion automatically become. And in the same way, in our present times, those that has put their trust in God, as many as trust in God, he becomes a hiding place for them. He will not disappoint them.
Okay. The question is God really a hiding place, and how do I run into him? Okay, so how do I run into him to be secured? You make mention of the fact that it's those who trust him. Are there other things I can do or I should do to imply running into him to be secured?
You must be born again. You must give your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. Number one thing, accepting Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. As many as received him, as many as believed in him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. God cannot be your secure or sure hiding place without you first giving your life to Christ. You must give your life to Christ.
Okay.
And then you must live a holy life. Holiness. One thing is to give your life to Christ. One thing is to live a holy life. And also, you must live a life of praise and thanksgiving and prayer of faith, as recorded in Psalm 100 verse 3 to 4 and Jeremiah 33 verse 3. We must walk away from the clamor and incitement of this world. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. Our hearts must be quiet before him as we allow him to investigate those inner thoughts that will reveal that we will reveal to no one else. You must be connected with God. We must avoid the distractions. Matthew 6:6. We cannot join in the secret place unless we are willing to be transparent and honest with him. We must do well. We must not do well with ungodly. You can't do well. You can't live with an ungodly person and be thinking that you are in the secret place of God, hiding in the secret place of God. You can't serve two masters at a time.
Okay, it's break time already on Word Journey, and today we'll be talking about God being a secure and sure hiding place. So far, we've looked at what it actually means to what a hiding place means, why we need a hiding place, how God is a hiding place. We have other questions to ask. We have other questions we are going to look at, which is, can God really protect me from my environment, human being, and chemicals and military forces? So we also want to look at how come it appears as if that in some cases the people of God failed. It appears as if God, their hiding place, disappointed them. And we'll look at what happened and what can we learn from that. We'll get into all of these questions, so we'll come back after the break. For now, we still Word Journey, and my guest has been Venerable Ihani Chukwu Obuona. Please stay tuned.
Since the first episode of Word Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom God provides, the Word Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So, in addition to downloading all the episodes on the website ihanyobona.com, You can equally stream all of them on any of your favorite podcast platforms, such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitchers, Amazon Music, and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra efforts to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and Bedtime Rema in the evening. Our desire is that you have daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedules. So, if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, Daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rema, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.
Welcome back. It's the Word Journey, and today we're looking at God being a secure hiding place, a secure and sure hiding place. And so far, we have looked at what it actually means to be a hiding place. How come some people, or how to qualify to hide in God, whether God is reliable, and whether somebody actually needs a hiding place when he has very good security details and protection. We are moving on with the discussion by looking at other aspects of this conversation about God being a hiding place. Like I said earlier, my guest is Venerable Ihanye Chukwu Ogbonna. Venerable, the other part I want us to look at is, can I hide from God when I am in danger from human being, my environment, and maybe chemical or military force? I will explain to you why I use these terms. Can I hide from God when a human being is chasing me? Powerful, rich, and connected human being. Can I hide from God when the environment, harsh weather, is my problem? Like flood, for example. Can I hide from God when there's flood? Can I hide from God when there's famine? Can I hide from God when there is maybe a laboratory manufactured disease thrown into the air, like chemical? Can I hide? Can I only hide from God when Goliath is coming and I need to shield myself? Can God really be a secure hiding place from all of this?
Thank you for this particular question. Like we have always done, taking answers from the scriptures. One particular Psalm 91, verses 1 to 16, give answers to all these questions. And permit me to do justice to the question by reading. He that dwelleth in the secret places, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Very simple. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Refuge and your fortress when a human being is chasing you. Refuge and your fortress when there are environmental threats, chemical threats, military might. Individual, rich and powerful, looking for you. You say, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be your shed and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth in the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall there any plague come near thy dwelling place. When you are talking about chemical laboratory manufactured diseases, this is the answer. Psalm 91 gave answers to all problems. Whether military, this one says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling place, for he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under thy feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he had known my name. These are other reasons why God is doing this thing. You have set your trust on the Lord. You know the name of the Lord. And I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The end of it all. God wants to do all this for us, and at the end of the day, grant us salvation into his kingdom. So the answer is seriously embedded in this psalm. God will always protect us from human attacks, environmental attacks, either physical or chemical, military forces. Permit me, in terms of military forces, to do once more justice from a very big, very important place in the scriptures, 2 Kings chapter 19. I will try to paraphrase this story. It's a story of about 185,000 soldiers being defeated by an angel. So an angel is more powerful than 185,000 soldiers. In the scriptures, we know when they lay siege against the children of God, God sent only an angel to show the sovereignty and protective nature of our God. God sent only an angel. So he encourages us as believers to trust in him, even when we fail a seemingly insurmountable challenges. You know what Hezekiah did? Hezekiah saw that as the king of Judah, that the ruler of the Assyrian king Sennacherib launched a very big attack against the nations around, to the point that when he has captured all the nations around, he now boasted that he's going to take what? Israel, Judah. He saw the face of the Lord. At that point, the children of God has some military powers, might, but they never trust in theirs, because they saw a mighty man with greater army. They looked unto God through Isaiah, and God promised that he would do what? Defend his people. They made God their hiding place. That same night, an angel came down, miraculously delivered, killed, defeated all the soldiers of the Assyrians. So that's another very simple, quick example. We are not doing a study on that, but God defending his people, no matter the military might of your enemy. If God be for us, who can be against us? The God says, nobody. And he says, I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? He says, my help cometh from the Lord. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Weapon is weapon. Chemical, physical weapon, military weapon. He said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. I will deliver you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the power of God being demonstrated in all its forms. After all, we read that God delivered Daniel from the den of lion. God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the furnace of fire.
Mm-hmm.
God delivered David from the hands of Saul. So, until today, he is a sure hiding place for his children. And he still will be ready always to send an angel to defeat the numerous enemies that are attacking you. But, you know, you don't have up to 185,000 enemies.
Mm.
Because those enemies represent deities, represents military, represent physical, represent big man, represents poor man. Any power that is against you is represented in 185,000. But one angel God will send to do what? To deliver you and save you.
When Sennacherib threatened the people of Israel, they didn't chicken out from the war. They didn't become frightened. for many Christians, when they threaten them like that, they run. Maybe they will promote them in an office. Instead of going to the office, somebody will threaten them that somebody has gone to the village for them. Or then maybe they put them to promote them to become director general of the organization. They will come to the office and they see tortoise in the office and run, and they are not doing it again. The king
Ezekiah
took the letter that Sennacherib wrote to the temple to present it before God. My question is, how come many children of God don't take the letters like that, threats like that, SMS like that to God, but they run away?
You know where we read that something they know his name. The problem we have is that Christianity today do not want to practicalize what they read. It's head knowledge, not right up in the heart. The Bible says, because they know my name, they that know their God shall do exploit. Exploit is not in reading the Bible. Exploit is in facing physical problems, situations, circumstances in life. Somebody is threatening you and you know your God. Go to your God in prayers. What did the king of Israel did? Took a letter, went to the temple, showed it to the man of God. The next day, answer came. He went and told him, forget about this man and his threat. Tonight, these people you are seeing, you shall see them no more. Isn't it the scriptures? Putting our faith to work. Faith without works is dead. We need to put it to work. How can we put it to work? Unless you challenge, God says, challenge me by my name and see if I am not God. God is waiting for his children to challenge him. We are not challenging God enough to provoke him to fight our battles. Remember, the fearful, God don't fight for you. He said, I have faith in him. You must show faith that the God you serve is powerful. The same way you read it in the Bible and pray it. When it comes to action, you put it to action. You challenge him by his word. You invoke the power of God to fight for you. And you stand the ground. Not when you pray and then you go to an office, you see a toad inside you. You run away and leave the office and say, they have come to kill me. That is the time you stand the ground and call upon the name of God. He said, call upon me in the days of trouble. I will answer you. God has said it, and I believe it, and that settles it.
As it stands now, there's a hypothetical man who, an organization, government powers, powerful politicians are after his life, and then he wants to have faith. But he doesn't have any example to hold on. Has God ever delivered anybody from government? You know, last time I also asked him this question in person. I say, they said they don't fight government. They fight government, government must deal with you. Now asking, has God ever delivered anybody from government authorities?
Yes. It all depends on what you mean by delivering somebody from government authorities.
Government is after you.
Because of your faith or because you committed a crime?
No. You didn't commit any crime.
Because of your faith?
One, because of your faith, either they want you to denounce God or stop preaching the truth, or somebody's offended that you are doing... You know, we talked about shining as light the other time. As part of shining as light, I say, governor of this state, I'm not joining you to steal money. Governor of this state, I'm a journalist. My job is to report what I saw. And I'm reporting that the state library, you sold the land and cited the library elsewhere. I'm doing my job. I'm saying I'm accountant for the state government. Governor wants to steal money. I say, I'm not stealing. And I say, no, I'm doing the right thing. And they're after my life. Can I really hide it to God? I should just go and give them what they want.
I said, yes. The just story of the defeat of 185,000.
It was a yes.
I said, yes, God can, will defend you. Because one thing first, are you trusting God to defend you? Is God your protection? Is he your refuge? These are the things you will be first of all ask yourself. Or are you compromising? Is your faith in God? The story we just read showed a man being attacked by a powerful government, a nation that is 10 times more powerful. Is another government attacking another government? Then a government attacking an individual. That, which one is big? Which one is big? The power of God. They say this story, simple story in the scripture, 185,000 soldiers being defeated by an angel demonstrates the power and faithfulness of God in protecting and delivering his people. It serves as a reminder to every Christian, every child of God in an office, both government organization or civil organization, private company, public company, wherever you find yourself, in financial sector, in academic sector, educational sector, health sector, wherever you found yourself, this story tells you, that reminds you that no human force, no matter how powerful, no matter how mighty, can stand against the sovereign power of God. Our God is powerful. We are serving a living God. We are serving the Almighty Jehovah, the man of war. Look at his name, the man of war. So which war has he gone to and come back defeated? That's the first question. I want somebody to stand and tell me where God has gone and God was defeated. No! From the ancient of time till our present day. So in the present circumstance, you, as a child of God, trust in God. Jehovah is his name. Trust in him. He is capable, more than capable, to defend you, to save you from every power. Then why is the government chasing you? So just remember Daniel. Let's go to the scripture again. Daniel was being chased by government. Colleagues, powerful colleagues, went to the king and told stories about him. And Daniel was taken in, thrown into the lion's den. And what happened? Did God not come down in his might to deliver Daniel?
He did.
And what is the result of the enemy? From the psalm, he said, the wicked God will deal with them. The men and all their families were thrown into the lion's den. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Another group of powerful individuals was accusing them wrongly because they all were serving a living God, the Almighty Jehovah. What happened? Is it not the same government? Today, I don't know the little place you are operating on. Government is chasing you because you stood your ground to defend the truth. May they continue to chase you, and may you continue to trust in God and run into God as your hiding place. Make him your refuge. Make him your fortress. He will defend you. I pity those that are chasing you or those that are after your life. They will be disgraced. Some will be put to death. It may go to that point that God may decide to put all these people to death for your sake. He said, for the sake of an elect, God is ready to destroy his city. For the sake of an elect, mark my words, one elect, God will destroy nations.
Can this man of war, you just refer to God as man of war in your answer, can this man of war actually come to help me recover my land I bought with my hard-earned money, and a community is now dragging my land with me?
Yes.
Can he also help a widow that his husband's people are dragging and trying to embarrass, dispossess of all her husband's possession?
Yes. God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. To whom is this verse meant? Those that put their trust in him. Those that has accepted Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. You must run into him. You must make him your refuge, your hiding place, your fortress. He cannot fight for you if you have no place in him. Dear widow, run to Jesus. Man who they are taking away your land, run to Jesus. Is he your Lord? Is he your personal Savior? That's the paramount thing. That's the first thing. You must make him your Lord. You must make him your Savior. And then he said, I will defend you. Let me ask you a question. Can a lawyer just stand up to defend you without first you are going to him, to his chambers?
No.
Why do you expect God to just come and start defending you? He may decide to do that in his infinite wisdom, to draw you closer to himself. But as a child of God, now I'm telling you, you must make him your lawyer, your advocate.
How do we do that? How do I run into his chamber? How do I go to his chambers to say, God, be my defender?
By faith. I have said this before. Faith. You know, there are so many Christians, yet very few exercises faith in God. God is looking for people
that will challenge situations and conditions like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Though our God will not save us from your hand, we will not worship your image. Such statements are lacking these days. Though they may kill me, I will die because of my faith. I will not change my stand on this corruption issue. That is, you know, is it why we are looking at this thing and everything? We all feel that there is something we are gaining in this life. If you save your life, you will lose it. Is it not the scripture?
It is.
Get to the point that you are challenging. I'm ready to die. If I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. Said by who? Esther, a woman. Trusting in God. I will go to the king. If I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. Because she has settled it with God in prayer and has handed over the situation into the hand of God. She was at the end of the plight, delivered, saved from powerful enemies. Somebody like Haman. Remember Haman and Mordecai. Another powerful man against a simple gate man. Is he not the place in government?
It is.
Is he not taking lands and property?
It is.
So,
okay, I want to talk about this a bit. You talked about the fact that God can equally protect. Okay, God can be a safe hiding place from diseases in the environment. Can God, if there is disease in the environment, like everybody is catching kata, that's a very minor example. Like they say it's season of kata or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a few years ago when we were talking about COVID-19, can people be dying? People have diseases. Many people are catching it. They are reporting the increase of incidence of that disease in the news. Can I still run to God at such points and be safe? I'm talking about not when the disease is in China, when the disease has landed in Enugu. Can God still shield me from that?
Yes! Yes! You know, when we read Psalm 91, I pray we'll have time one day to do a proper analysis, exposition of this psalm concerning the events of that happens. But simply put, simple cough, cold, and kata, is everybody suffering it? Who is saving those that are not suffering it?
Somebody says their immune system.
Is that, who gave you an immune system? Who made their immune system powerful? Strong. God. One thing about everyday life, forget carelessness and the way we take care of our lives. If you expose yourself to cold during the cold weather, you are bound to have cold and kata. You need to wear sweater or duvet to sleep. You refuse. There is cold. The weather is cold. You're under an air condition. The luxury of air condition and fan. And then you expose yourself to cold and kata. Then you suffer it. You're not wise. God has created us to be wise. And if you suffer it, to some, they pray, the thing goes. To some, they go to hospital, take some tablets, and it goes. But the point is that God is still in the business of saving people from simple cold. At the beginning of rainy season, you have formed the habit of praying that God, this season, that is the rainy season, comes with cold and kata. I refuse to get involved. I receive to catch the disease. I pray against it. Meanwhile, he has given you the brain to wear your clothes to go to sleep in the night. Don't tempt God. But when you stand, see, there are people also during the Hamatan season, you know, another period of cold and different disease, they protect themselves. They run into God in advance. They see little things, you know. One thing is the little things you hand over to him matters a lot. This little thing is simple prayer. We are approaching dry season. What do you call it? Dust in the air because of our environment. Everywhere is dust. In abroad, they may not be praying about dust. But to us, we pray about dust because our roads are not good. You can simple prayer. Father, protect me in this season of dust. Do you think you are saying something that is not prayer? That is a powerful prayer. And in that season, you will not catch cold. You will not catch kata. You will not catch any disease that flies in the day or in the night. Because it's a day that made God. If you remember what I read in Psalm 21, very serious psalm. Everything is covered there.
Corona is there. COVID is there. God says those that flies in the day or the ones that flies in the night, at the noonday is there. Everything, the psalm is loaded. And from the noiseless pestilence, what is noisome pestilence? This is something like COVID. He said he would defend. Before COVID existed, God has already made a promise that he would defend his children. No wonder the prayer of the African man who trusts in God and the white man who trusts in their medicine worked for us more than them. I believe his prayers, our prayers, is very powerful. Remember, the prayer of a righteous man is what? Powerful.
Effectual fervent prayer of the righteous.
Effectual prayer, okay.
Feels much.
Much.
Produce so much power.
Power. Thank you. This is the scriptures again.
Okay, our time is essentially up. I just want you to, in 1 minute or maybe 2 minutes at most, help me explain something. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The second part is what we have been discussing. That's resting in the shadow of the Almighty. How do I live in the shelter of the Most High? Just summarize it. I think you've hinted part of it small.
I think I've said this.
Yes,
but he that dwelleth in the secret places.
How can I live in the first, shelter of the Most High?
It's a process. You just don't jump in. I say it's a process. First, you must give your life. There is a strong tower built. Will you hide yourself in that strong tower from a distance?
Mm-mm.
You come to the, you approach the place, knock at the door. The door is open. You seek permission. God. Jesus said, I stand at the door for our own sake. The secret place of the Most High is standing in front of us, knocking. I stand at the door. If anyone should open, he will come in. The secret place is coming to you, asking you to accept him as Lord and personal Savior, that you may abide in him. He said, we are hidden in Christ and Christ in God. Without Jesus Christ, you cannot abide. You cannot hide. You cannot be in the secret place of God. So number one, most important than every other thing we have said, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. God wants us to dwell in his secret place, not to be visitors. You may ask me a question, but I said, I want to conclude here, that God wants his children to dwell in his secret place and not be visitors. You know what it means to be a visitor in your house? I'm somebody that is permanently resident. He wants us to reside there and not be visitors. Many of us are visitors. We come and collect. We collect change. We come and take food as visitors. If it's there, we are given. If it's not there, we are asked that there is no food. But if you're a permanent person in the house, you will know when the food is and when food is not. A visitor can come and ask you about for rice. Eh? Why you have beans? But somebody that is residing will never ask you about rice when you know that what is available is beans. So Christians, God is asking us to be what? To come in and dwell in his be permanent residence.
Okay.
And not visitors.
Okay, our time is entirely up. I think the point about being visitors is that the one I understand is don't be visiting God. Make God your father. Know him through and through. Enjoy being with him. Don't just he's not an ATM. Yes, he performs some a bit of ATM function, but he wants you to come and live with him. Like he can dispense money, dispense healing, but that's not the point. He wants you to live with him permanently. That's why we bring this week's edition of What Journey to a Wrap. Thank you very much, Venerable, for your time and teaching on this subject matter.
Thank you, and may God continue to bless his works.
We would love to hear from you. If you have a question to ask, please feel free to ask a question. If you have a suggestion, we are open to that suggestion. Please send us your feedback to wg@ihanyobona.com. You can equally call, text, or WhatsApp 003-7620-939. Please be informed that previous episodes of World Journey, that's like 29 previous episodes of World Journey, are available for download on Venerable Bona's website, that is ihanyiogbona.com. You can equally access other teachings by Venerable, the blog section of the website, and then ebook section too. You can access all of these things when you visit the website. Again, the website address is ihanyiogbona.com. Or just go on Google and type Venerable Bona. It takes you to the website straight. You see his handsome face on is it green or lemon background? And then that takes you to the place. If you just follow us on social media, across every social media platform, at Our World Journey, you'll be able to find the website address and find links to most of the resources. Until we bring you our next exciting episode of Word Journey, may the Lord be with you. May God really be our hiding place, and may we not be visitors to God, but become permanent residents of His place. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu Dinwoke. Ever since the first episode of Word Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom that God provides, the Word Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So in addition to downloading all episodes of Word Journey on the website, ihanyiobona.com, you can equally stream all of them on your favorite podcast platforms such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra effort to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and Bedtime Rhema in the evening. Our desire is that you have a daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedule. So if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rhema, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.